Welcome to another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. As always, I'm your host, Matt Calder, and on today's show, we will be speaking with Brian Balfour about taxation in the state and whether we even really need an income tax in the state, whether that is a personal income tax, a business income tax, or one or the other, or both, or neither. And make sure you tune in for that interesting segment on taxes, though I know a segment on taxes on its face does not seem necessarily interesting, but I promise you this one is. Also, before we get to that, though, I want to talk about our newest feature on the show, and that is the call-in line. That number is 919-747-8063, and that is a number for people to call in and leave us topics they want to talk about or rant a little bit, and leave us a minute or two message. If it's good, we'll play it on the air. If it's good and clean, we will play it on the air again. A minute or two message at 919-747-8063. Also, we want you to subscribe to the show. Make sure you're doing that by going and searching What Matters in North Carolina, where you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts or whether you're listening on Podcast Addict or some other app on the Android network. You can get the show to your device, your phone, your tablet, your computer, wherever you are listening to the show. You can get it there incredibly simply by just subscribing. Now, you can subscribe to the show, but we also want you to subscribe to our social media or follow us on Twitter and like our page on Facebook. And to do that, just search What Matters NC. Again, on Facebook and Twitter, both of them, it is What Matters NC. Now, that lets you listen to the show, talk with us, see what we're putting on social media. But also, if you want to listen to older episodes of the show or you want to listen to other shows on the Freedom Action Network, do that by going to the Freedom Action Network website at freedomactionnetwork.com. Now, without any further ado, we'll get into our segment with Brian Balfour. All right, Brian, thanks for coming back on the show.
Good to be here again, Matt.
So last time we kind of pushed around or tossed around what we were going to talk about, and I guess now we're following through on that. We're going to talk about taxes. Taxes really focusing mostly on, I think, state taxes. That's a lot of what Civitas does is mostly state-based, and a lot of what we talk about issues and what matters in North Carolina, of course, is a state-based type thing. So I'm of the opinion that taxes, you know, what is it, taxation is theft, I think is the quick way to say it. But where do you land?
I'm largely in agreement with that. I mean, what right does the government have to forcibly confiscate some of your justly earned property? I mean, if you or I went around our communities and said, hey, you're going to give me 20% of your paycheck or I'm going to lock you up in a cage, of course, people would rightly condemn us as being thieves and being, you know, bullies and subject us to punishment. So then if government derives its rights from the consent of the governed, and we as the governed don't have a right to do that, how can we consent that to the government?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that actually, the way you just phrased that so perfectly buttons into a show I'm watching on Netflix right now. It does. It's The Walking Dead.
Okay.
So this is on Netflix. So I'm a season behind everybody, I think, watching now. But there's this group called the Saviors. And what they do is they go to these other surrounding groups and they say, give us half your stuff or we're going to kill you. Or we're going to kill one of you. We're going to, you know, bad things will happen. We're going to put you in a cage, in a little locked up room. I mean, it really is this, give us half your stuff or else.
Right. Yeah. Sounds like they're starting the formation of a government on that show.
Apparently, yeah.
That's how governments.
They've got rules. No, they've got rules. You can't break the rules. There's penalties for breaking the rules. The guy's a little unhinged, but there's a certain establishment to what if you do this, this will happen type thing. So he's got a community. He's got a payment system. He's got different classes. I mean, this is his own little government he's created in this, you know, post-apocalyptic Georgia or Virginia or wherever they are in the South in the show. But, I mean, just the way you phrased it, it hit me immediately. I'm going, huh, that's exactly like what's going on in my TV show.
Right, yeah. Well, those folks must have been inspired by the U.S. government or the IRS. And
apparently.
Maybe. But, you know, taxation, you know, stepping aside from the kind of the moral component of it, which is certainly first and foremost in my opinion, but kind of getting to the economics of it as well, and especially at the state level, what we're talking about. And I know that you and I have kind of talked about North Carolina's tax structure, and we levy the three, you know, kind of big taxes here in North Carolina, the personal income, the sales tax, and the corporate income tax. And, you know, we at Civitas, we've been lobbying, if you will, for years, you know, advocating for the elimination of one of those, in particular the personal income tax. And the angle we take on that is that that's going to make our state much more conducive for economic growth and opportunity. And, of course, all the jobs and the income growth that comes along with it. And there's tons of research out there that shows that the other states that are getting by without a personal income tax are really thriving. You know, Texas comes to mind. Tennessee has been seeing a lot of growth. And several other states, I believe there's 9 in total right now with no personal income tax. And Florida, of course, comes to mind in the Southeast region as well. And those are states that are attracting businesses. They're growing their populations. They're thriving. I mean, my goodness, all the businesses, you know, moving away from high tax California, moving to Texas and things of that nature, is really quite telling. And I think that North Carolina has been taking some good steps in that direction. We've seen the personal income tax. We've scrapped the multi-tiered kind of progressive income tax structure. We have one rate. Now down to one rate, we're lowering that rate. Now that one rate is lower than what the lowest of the multi-tiered rate was previously.
Right. So the state's out of money now, right? Is what it sounds like. You just say the state ran out of money, basically.
Oh yeah, completely broke. No. Of course, the opposite is true. We've been experiencing the last few years significant, multiple $100 million budget surpluses, continued revenue growth year after year. And a big part of that is, and this is even from the Fiscal Research Division, you know, their reports to the General Assembly saying, oh, we're experiencing some of these budget surpluses because income tax and corporate tax and all these tax collections are higher than what we had anticipated because of the more people are working, more jobs, you know, bigger paychecks. And that means, of course, you know, more tax revenue to the state. And unfortunately, kind of on the spending side, just for a second, the General Assembly has been doing some responsible things with that as well, you know, setting aside a significant portion into a rainy day fund, you know, for things like natural disasters, hurricanes, and of course, you know, an oncoming recession. That's, you know, these things are just a matter of, you know, when and not if.
Right. And what I think about, you mentioned California, how people are leaving California, and they, you know, known for such high taxes. I mean, I look at this chart from 2014, and it was 13.3% then. And now, so our income tax is below 4%, I believe, in North Carolina at this point, or below 5%.
I believe they got it down to about 5.5%.
It was 5.4.
Yeah, like 5.499. Right. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, almost a third now of what this was in 2014. But I kind of reach back to when I used to see these commercials coming on TV, come to California, move to California. This is a California way of life, you know. Well, we're just, you know, skateboarding and surfing and sitting out in wine vineyards. And I'm going, no, your state is broke. California was appealing to people to move there because they were absolutely broke. And they had these high taxes.
Yeah, I mean, an absolutely gorgeous place to live, California, the climate, the beaches, and people are uprooting and moving to Texas. I mean, have you ever felt the heat and humidity in a Texas summer compared to, you know, Pebble Beach, California?
Yeah,
I mean, we can't say it's because of the weather. It, you know, taxes have an awful lot to do about that. And you know, speaking of advertisement, you know, New York State, we're seeing lots of advertisements around North Carolina trying to advertise, you know, trying to recruit businesses and everything to come to New York State because they are trying to implement some program, some special, you know, tax-free or low kind of tax credit programs because, you know, they're recognizing, geez, we are absolutely bleeding jobs and businesses. We need to do something and to try to bring businesses back. So, you know, they're recognizing that they need to offer tax breaks relative to the oppressive tax rates they're applying on people up there.
I was about to say, when you first said they're trying to get people to move there, I'm going, okay, so you said they're going with their businesses. I'm going, there's no way they're going for, like, people because you know how many people we get in North Carolina who move from New York? It is ridiculous. I mean, just how many people who move from areas like that down to here, up in the Northeast, where taxes tend to be a lot higher, they tend to be a lot more restrictive in other ways as well. But kind of what I want to go back to is you talked about how we have all three. You know, we have the income tax, we have the sales tax, we have the business income tax. So, I mean, and I look at it whenever I think about this. I think about New York again, just to go right back to them, about their smoking laws or their taxes on cigarettes. They want people to not smoke cigarettes. So they go and they make this tax, this large tax on cigarettes to make them more expensive, to make people not smoke. Take that logic and go, okay, we have an income tax. We, you know, what do we want people to do? We want people to produce and have a better salary and make more money, but we tax them based on making more money. So what is our tax going to do to that? And again, we don't have the same step-tiered system that we used to have. We have a flat income tax, but we're still taxing people and what they produce. If you're taxing me 5%, I make $100, you get 5. I make $200, you get 10. I'm paying you twice as much taxes. And what are we incentivizing here?
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, the old saying goes, the more you tax something, the less of that activity you will see. And of course, the vice versa. You bring up the great point about the cigarette taxes. And, you know, liberals, progressives, whatever you want to call them, they seem to be pretty selective in recognizing that fact about taxation and the incentives put in play. You know, let's reduce smoking. Let's reduce carbon emissions by factories and other businesses. Okay, we're going to slap a tax on it. Let's grow. You know, how are we going to grow jobs then? Well, you know, take away the taxes on the jobs. But for some reason, they seem to think, we can tax, you know, businesses and job creation and productivity, and that's not going to have any negative impact on those activities. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of a head scratcher. You know, I think there's something beneath the surface that they recognize what they're doing, but they're pursuing a larger goal, and I think that's, you know, that larger goal more is like control. You know, they want to use the laws, use the tax system to control. Well, we want people to smoke less, so we're going to do this. So we want less carbon emissions, so we're going to tax that. But, you know, we want to make sure there's lots of revenue going into the government, so then government has a lot of money to spend on the programs and entice people to change their behaviors to achieve these, to receive these government benefits for all these other programs. So it's really just in large part, again, an attempt to kind of control people's behavior.
Oh, yeah. So I guess my overarching question is, you know, on a nationwide basis, I mean, you know, the states are experiments that you can use to apply to the federal government. And we talk about these 8 or 9 states or so that don't have an income tax. They don't have any sort of income tax on personal. I don't know about the business income tax. I don't know if Texas has one or not. But these states seem to be doing just fine. I mean, Washington doesn't have an income tax, and they're doing fine. Nevada doesn't have one, they're doing fine. I mean, these are successful states. This isn't some broken down, just bankrupt state like Illinois, for example, who does have an income tax.
Right, absolutely. I mean, you see some of the states that are in the worst fiscal positions, like Illinois and some of those northeastern states that you were talking about. Those are some of the states with the highest tax rates. We can't leave out the spending side of the equation, of course, which I think is a large part of those states' problems. And, you know, they keep jacking up their taxes to try to keep up with the spending. Guess what they're doing? They're driving people out of their state. You have a smaller tax base, that's going to be less revenue. And then what do you try to do? You try to, squeeze that stone a little harder to try to get some more blood out of it by increasing taxes on those people who are remaining. And what that does to them, of course, it we talked about that before, you know, the incentives, less incentive to work, less incentive to create jobs and increase your payroll, because it's far more expensive to do those things.
Oh yeah, and it's not a system that can be sustained by any means. I mean, you're right. You're trying to squeeze more out of less to support this spending, and it's the answer is, it's just so obvious in front of them. It's a way to get a handle on this thing, but I mean, I kind of go back to there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger plan here. There's gaining control, and we talked about it with the light rail of, why are you going to build this where nothing is? Well, because we want you to be here. This is where we want you to be. So we don't want the versatile public transportation system. We want the less versatile transportation system because we have a plan. We want this to not go so well and to give us the money as the government so that we can fill in these gaps that in a lot of ways that government's creating these gaps. I mean, it really, it's either total incompetence or there's a plan. And depends on what you think of the government, which side you land on, I guess.
Right. Well, certainly a skeptic might say that, the more people that are dependent on these government programs, the more those people are going to be likely to vote for those politicians who are promising them, to keep up and expand those government programs. You want to talk about money in politics. I mean, yeah, the big corporate donors and lobbyists and so forth, that's a significant influence. But the real money in politics is the trillions of dollars that the government spends every year in what some may label as basically kind of a vote buying scheme. Vote for us and we're going to give you this money. We're going to give you money for healthcare. We're going to give you money for food. We're going to give you money for, rent and so forth. And of course, then their opponent, they can demonize, say, my opponent wants to take away your healthcare, wants to take away money for your food or to care for your children. And it comes up every election time. And it's really, I think, in large part, just kind of boils down to that, a vote buying scheme. We're going to give you other people's money that we take from other people, we're going to give it to you. And in exchange, we're going to expect your vote.
All right. And in a state where, not a state as in North Carolina, South Carolina, but a wider view, a state, the state of things, in a state where we have income taxes in the nation that in some states are over 10% or approaching 10%, and there are more closer up higher to that number than there are that don't of the states that do have income taxes, we can just look back and remember that we went and started throwing some tea in a harbor over a 3% tax, Boston Tea Party. 3% tax, and we're the Sons of Liberty are raiding ships in the harbor, throwing this tea overboard, and now we're at a point where we're still just totally acceptant of this state where we're in now. We have a 5.49% income tax rate in North Carolina, and it's something to be nearly giddy about compared to where we have been.
Right, relative to other states, certainly, and the Tax Foundation puts something together called Tax Freedom Day, and they basically calculate by state kind of the average citizen's tax burden as a percent of their income, and they'll say, okay, that kind of equates to, 25% of your income is paid in taxes, so that means 25% of the year, a fourth of the year, 3 months of the year, you're working for the government, not for yourself. And in most states, I think it's later than April 15th, kind of ironically, even past the actual tax day, that you all that effort, all that time that you're putting in, that's not really for you or your family. That's going to someone else. That's going to the government.
Right. And last year, Tax Freedom Day was April 24th, ironically, just,
Okay. Yeah.
Almost, that sounds right. 9 days after tax day. And they said it was 31% of the nation's income, 31%. So close to a third of the year working for the government. And I've never heard it put quite that way, in a way where you say you really are. You're working 31% of your work year, of everything you make, is handed directly to the government.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not by consent. That's by threat of force.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anybody who enjoys paying their taxes. I don't know anybody who celebrates or sends in a thank you note with their taxes saying, thank you for this, for everything that you do for me in exchange for these taxes. I don't really get a sense of that from people. So it comes down to whether you believe in self-ownership or not. And for that one third of the year, we don't really own ourselves. We don't own our labor, our effort, our time that is being seized from us from the government.
Oh, yeah. And we have to get out of here on this segment, unfortunately, but I've already got our next tax topic in mind I want to talk about. And this is something that makes me really angry, and is paying property taxes on something I own. Why do I have to annually pay a tax for my vehicle, for my house. I'm paying them, part of, you know, my mortgage every month goes to my property taxes. I mean, why am I paying a tax on something I own? Do I really own it anymore?
Exactly. You're fooling yourself thinking that you actually own it.
Yes.
You know, it's that rich uncle in Washington, D.C. is exerting their ownership over it.
I can take that Jeep out there, go set it on fire, and it is destroyed and gone, and then I'll still get a bill. And when the registration is up and say, hey, you got to pay his tax on this. So that can be our next topic if you want to jump in on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
But anyway,
I look forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, thank you for joining us for another segment on What Matters.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian, for coming on the show and talking with us about taxes and taxation. Thank you to you, the listeners. Make sure you're subscribing to the show, calling in on that caller line so we can post up and include those messages in our show and talk about those and those topics. And also make sure you're following along on social media on Facebook and Twitter at What Matters NC, and we'll catch you next time.